Ruined dits might be done for another day, but the savings at Chemist Warehouse have only just started. Chemist Warehouse always has the biggest brands at the lowest price.
104.7 Triple M.
It's business as usual at Hills Robes. Get 45% off your sliding wardrobe today.
What a goal!
Ruined dits overnight sports.
The talk is all about Port Adelaide and the Crows being based in Queensland and Western Australian teams. Now, I am confused personally. Has it definitely been decided or is it being talked about?
Yeah, well, it's pretty much there, Dit. So we'll go into more detail after 7 o'clock. We're going to have you can ask any questions. So I think a lot of people are confused about what is going to happen. Why is it happening? Why is it Queensland? Why isn't it here where we've got, you know, next to no infections? Why isn't it in WA? Why we have to go to Victoria? Lots of people saying, is it an AFL still or is it VFL? It looks like Crows and Port will be heading to Queensland.
All right. As you said, just after 7 o'clock, we'll delve deeper into that and ask the questions as to why and what would be the best fit. The head of football at Port Adelaide yesterday, Chris Davies, had a little swipe at the Adelaide Crows.
We've got to sit down with the AFL now and look at exactly what we need to do in order to get season 2020 up and running, which is, I think, where most people are at right now, is that they want football to return as soon as it possibly can in the safest and healthiest way.
I don't think that even the staunchest Crows supporter would believe that it's had a positive impact.
So he's talking about the Barossa situation.
Yes. He said it a couple of times yesterday, and then he said it again on the rush hour too, didn't he?
It can't really be a yes or no answer. I think that suggesting I was critical is probably a step too far. What I have said is that I don't believe it helped.
Well, that was just in case you missed it the first time.
Yeah, just in case. It's interesting because Port have said a few things about the Crows this week, haven't they? Koshy opening his mouth about the Barossa the other day.
What did Koshy say?
I think Koshy said, I just can't imagine why you'd be going to a luxury Barossa resort when the people are getting stood down. And usually other clubs don't talk about other clubs' finances, do they? Really?
No.
Because generally you don't know what you're talking about. Because in that situation, as I explained to you, it wasn't even going to cost the footy club anything, was it? We said that it was less than $10,000 because the players were paying their own way and Nick's and Kelly were going to pay the difference. So,
right.
Just.
Okay. Gee, this has touched a nerve.
Well, it's, you don't usually do it, do you, the opposition
club? Is it similar, horses for courses, I understand, comparing apples with oranges. Is it similar to when Stephen Trigg said Port Adelaide are bringing down the AFL brand in South Australia? Or was that different?
What was that referring to?
I don't know. I'd have to ask Stephen Trigg. But that was a comment he made publicly.
It?
Yeah, he just said Port Adelaide's damaging the brand here in South Australia.
What was that when they were losing the money? Was that when it was?
No, I don't know what it was about, but fairly damning statement to make.
Well, for a while there, they were pretty bad with the finances, though, weren't they?
Oh, so you're allowed to say that. Okay.
Oh, I'm just asking. Well, right. That's what you're bringing it up.
Well,
they did force the SAFL to go into a fair bit of debt there for a while, didn't they?
Oh, don't start on that. Don't start me on
you're
that.
You're the one who brought it up.
Don't start on that.
It was only $15 million or something like that.
That discussion will take a long, long time.
Well, is it true or not?
Oh, there's a lot to that argument. There is a heck of a lot to that argument. I'm not going to go there.
Pretty on the mark, though.
Yeah. There were people at the SAFL making sure it happened too. Don't worry.
Like what?
No, that's what I'm saying. This discussion will go forever.
All right, we'll move on.
Yeah. Brisbane captain Dane Zorko.
You don't really want to move on.
Brisbane captain Dane Zorko. There's a lot of people. Someone should write a book about what happened down there.
Who would write it?
Yeah, don't know.
Who knows?
Brisbane captain Dane Zorko says the teams going up to Queensland are sacrificing a lot.
The sacrifices that they're willing to make to get the season up and running, is so well respected around the competition by all the teams.
Yep, good stuff. Hey, just quickly, Marcus Flores, former Adelaide City player. In fact, he was captain of Adelaide City this season and last year, but an Adelaide United star. He won the medal, the Johnny Warren medal, which is like the Brownlow. He's announced his retirement. He's a very popular player. And in the world of Formula One, something I said yesterday, I just need to clarify this. Daniel Ricciardo is leaving Renault to move to McLaren. Yesterday I said he was leaving Ferrari, so he's leaving Renault to move to McLaren. So that's a big, big move in the world of Formula One, Roo. That is our look at sport. Hey, business as usual at Hills Robes. Great company. Get 45% off your sliding wardrobes today. Ruined, it's on Triple M.
Top 5 up next.
Ruined. It's here on Triple M. It's been another big week on the show.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week. Number five, after Mother's Day, we learnt Limo doesn't like breakfast in bed.
Is breakfast in bed a massively overrated treat?
I agree with you.
It's awkward. You're sitting up in bed. You're leaning back on pillows. You're not in a good eating position.
No.
Spilling food into the bed.
Crumbs.
It's like sex on the beach. Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
But no.
I'm with a crumb sausage.
Not the first time Ruth delivered that line.
Crumb sausage is okay, but nobody likes sandy clams. Number four. Ruin Dits angels were on.
Good morning.
And we learnt what Mel the Button Pusher wanted to be when she grew up.
I must have seen Indiana Jones or something, and I wanted to be an archaeologist. I wanted to go...
Archaeologist?
I wanted to go dig up dinosaurs, but I didn't actually realise... Practically speaking, that it just meant you sifted dirt for years.
Yeah. Let's be honest, so you get to work with Dits every day, and that's working with a fossil.
Oh. Hey.
That joke was dynamite. Number three. Sometimes Dits likes to have a virtual argument with his wife, Kate, on the show.
I come back with, if I thought that was a better place, I would have bloody put it there, wouldn't I?
Last week was, where did you put my stuff?
By having my stuff sitting on the bench where it is, it's not hurting anything. It's not hurting anyone. Just leave it there. Leave it right where I put it.
Let's spin the wheel of Dits arguments with Kate and see where it lands. It's when to wash the sheets.
I get a lecture about this everywhere.
What does she lecture you about?
I never change the sheets. Because I often say to her, I'll do it. And then she'll say, when were you going
to
do it?
No, you don't.
Yeah, but I'm not... She'll jump in and do it every weekend, right? And she'll say, there, I've done it again. I say, yeah, but Kate, leave it for another week. I would have done it. I was happy the way they were.
All right, Dits, I think that covers it.
But washing bed sheets. Look, when are you going to do the sheets? I always do them.
Yeah. Don't listen to her, Dits.
No, I don't.
You sure told her, Dits.
Good morning, Kate.
I didn't mean what I just said, Kate. I didn't. I promise.
Number two. Praddy from the Grumpy Old Men was on, and we learnt about a new wine.
The Arkabar drive-through, and they've got special wines like Pinot Noir, Pinot Grigio, and the Wine of the Month. And this one reduces the number of trips people Reedy's age go to the toilet at night. It's called Pinot Moore.
Pinot Moore. I know that before I go to bed.
Speaking of taking the... 10-year-old Alice had a great joke.
You're Australian when you go into the toilet?
Yeah.
You're Australian when you come out?
Yeah.
What are you while you're in?
No, don't know.
European?
Number one, the Crows were in a bit of hot water after their training breach in the Barossa.
The AFL are investigating a possible breach of the training protocols.
And Jars reckons it's the Crows' board.
There's been some lack of leadership off-field, and you can go from top to members of the board.
We learned from Roo why the Crows' board stinks.
You said, what's the weird place you farted? And I said, well, we actually farted in the middle of a board meeting one day, which I did not mean to happen, but my bum is it, what do you call it, involuntary? Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah.
Is
loose.
It? Loose, yeah, a bit loose. Yeah, I was just sitting in there and went, and Chabby goes, pardon me.
The chairman.
I was actually sitting there and he said, excuse me, Ruth. I said, sorry, God. I put my hands up. Sorry, I actually did not mean to do that. It just slipped out.
Whoever's taking the minutes of this meeting, please just put out Ruth fart.
Lockie called up and had an embarrassing fart moment too.
When my wife was in labour with the first son.
No!
Because I was holding her hand, you know, trying to be supportive. She had a really bad contraction, squeezed my hand. It scared me that much that I farted.
Yeah.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
We love farting here at Triple M.
Ruined Dits here on Triple M. Let's get the number one man in the state on, or is he the number one man in the state? This is the big question.
He's
people
number
are
one man.
That's right. Person. All right. The Premier, Stephen Marshall. Good morning.
Good morning, Dits. Good morning, Roo.
Gee, what's all this commentary about that you're not running the state? What's your response to that?
Well, you know, we've made a really good decision early on that we would be listening to the expert health advice. And I tell you what, it's put us in a good position so far. We've seen what's happened around the rest of the world. No countries mentioned. But when politicians start making health advice, people start to lose their lives. We've seen that with what's happened in other countries. We didn't want that here. So we all decided that we would do our part in tackling the coronavirus. We've stuck to what we need to do in the government. The police commissioner's done his excellent part. And, of course, Nicola Spurrier and her team in public health and Health Administration have given us fantastic expert advice that we can implement. So, yeah, it's been a real working together in the leadership team to make sure that we can get through this as best we can.
Well, I don't want to sound like a pathetic little lapdog, but I think that is great leadership. No, it is. You've actually appointed the, or delegated to the people that are experts, and to me that means leadership. I think it's great.
Yep, it's worked very well, and you probably don't want doctors telling you how to run the economy either when we bounce back out, Steve. So will you take over and do that at some stage, or when does Nicola Sperry's power reduce? At what point is that when it's not declared a state of emergency anymore? Or
no, look, we've established a transition committee. I mean, it's much easier to put restrictions in place than to lift them, Roo. And what we're doing at the moment is going through the very difficult task of making sure that we can lift those restrictions and get people back to work, but at the same time not have a relapse. In fact, we've looked at the countries and the cities around the world who have been coming out of this, and probably more have stuffed it up than have got it right.
Yeah, I agree.
Most of them actually lift them just a bit too quickly, have a massive relapse, and then have to put those restrictions back in place. And we don't want that. Small business is telling us that would literally be a disaster. I genuinely think the fact that we run a few weeks, maybe a month behind the Northern Hemisphere, gives us that perfect opportunity to look at who's doing this best and model that. And we've been really getting a lot of information from a lot of different places. And I think the way we're doing it, incrementally lifting those restrictions, we'll be there in a few weeks' time. We'll get this right and we'll get people back to work. And the important thing is we won't then be putting restrictions back in place, which I think would be devastating for business, but also devastating for morale in our state.
Yeah, it would be massive mentally to have to lock down a second time. I think you're doing a great job, or everyone's doing a great job. Is it fair to say you disagreed over the footy decision the other day, though? Are you happy to say that or not?
Oh, not disagree, but I thought it was definitely worth looking at the fly-in, fly-out model. I mean, a lot of the players and the Players Association were telling us about the huge imposition it was for them to relocate their entire families for the rest of the season. And so we thought it was definitely worth having a look. But the AFL wanted to start the season ASAP. We've seen what's happened in other states with regards to community transmission and increased numbers. And a decision was made, and I back it 100%.
Good. Unemployment news out yesterday. I mean, we're the worst in the nation. 7.2, 6.2 is the average in Australia. Queensland's second worst was 6.8. It's not a bad number, probably opposed to what it's going to be in a month or two. It's going to get pretty ugly, isn't it, with when all the data comes in. It could be double figures, do you think, Steve?
Look, 7.2 is a lot lower than what a lot of people thought it was going to be, but it sort of hides, I think, one of the real problems, and that is that there's massive underemployment. Yep. So people might still have a job, but they might not have many hours. And this is our real focus in the government, is trying to get as many hours worked as possible. The ABS statistics are a survey over 2 weeks in the middle of April. So, you know, we're 4 weeks on from that now. I think as we ease the restrictions, I'm hoping that we create more of those hours. But look, Roo, you're 100% right. It's going to be a rocky period here in South Australia. It's going to be a rocky period everywhere in the world. I mean, this is a global pandemic.
Yep.
What I do know, though, is if we can sensibly and sustainably get our economy back up and running because we've got good health outcomes, then that means more people are going to get more hours. And yes, it's going to be tough for the next couple of months.
Yeah, those underemployment numbers, 11.2 up to 17%, so a big jump.
That's the frightening one. Mm. That's the really frightening one, because people have got a job, but they are just not getting the hours that they want. So that's why we're really focused on doing everything we can to support the economy at the moment.
Premier, I just find the inconsistencies around the country a little bit frustrating. So pubs are going to open in New South Wales, which may not be the right thing, but they are going to. They're opening in the Northern Territory. We're not opening them here. Do you think, you know, if we were to do this again, should all states, or would all states try and be on the same page and, you know, do things as a country rather than every city's different?
That's a very good question. I don't know what the answer to that is. All I know is that we're running our own race here in South Australia. I mean, look, you know, yesterday we only had 3% of students studying from home. In Victoria, they only had 3% of students studying at school.
Yeah. It's a massive difference. Look,
every state's sort of doing something better than the other ones. I know New South Wales have jumped out ahead and said, look, we want to open pubs and clubs and restaurants from Friday, but it's for 10 people. When I sat down with the publicans, they said, oh, you know, 10's not viable. They're telling me 20's not viable.
Yeah.
So
they're viable for some smaller pubs, but not for the big ones.
Exactly. But then all of a sudden you have a situation where you're saying, well, look, I've got a much bigger pub. I've got a much bigger area. Why can't I have more? So there's a lot of stress. As I said, it's a lot easier to put the restrictions in than take them off fairly. But I've got to say, Nicholas Spurrier, Grant Stevens, the Transition Committee are doing a great job. I think, look, we're all in this together. It is going to be a tough month or so as we lift those restrictions. But July is when we arrive back at that COVID-safe environment. Every single state and territory leader have signed up to that. Yes, they're going to move in slightly different ways, but we're all committed to getting back there. And quite frankly, I think South Australia will be back there first.
Yeah. Good on you. Thanks so much. The man who is running the state, the Premier, Stephen Marshall.
Thanks, guys. Have
good
a great
on, Steve. Thanks, mate. Well done.
Ruined It's on Triple M. Get ready. I think this is going to be good.
He's a plumber.
Rudy's Plumbing. You block it, we unblock it.
He has a funny accent.
My mum's from Holland and my dad's from the Netherlands. It's a beautiful accent, isn't it?
And he also happens to be Australia's meanest TV reviewer.
Australian television, it is manure.
Please welcome to Ruined It's for Breakfast.
Every week right here on Triple M.
Rudy Vanderstone, TV reviewer.
Oh, I cannot wait, Rudy, to see who or which show you are talking about this week. How are you, mate?
Now, today I'm reviewing The Last Dance on Netflix.
I've been watching this.
We spoke about this yesterday.
Now, you two blokes being previous sports stars. Rue, you played the AFL, and Ditch, you played squash. Did you play against Jeff Hunt?
Yes, I did.
And that's not rhyming slang?
Yeah. No, it's not. I did play him, yeah.
How'd you go against Jeff?
Nah, no good. He was too good.
No good.
Yeah.
Who did Jeff used to play? He always used to play an Indian or a Pakistani, didn't he?
Yeah, Pakistani. Jahangir Khan was his name.
Jahangir Khan, yes, that's right.
Yeah. I lost to him as well.
Squash talk.
Yeah.
It's riveting stuff, isn't it?
Wow. Let's move on.
No wonder a lot of middle-aged men choose to die of a heart attack halfway through that game.
I did too.
Oh, I thought it was the heat on the court.
No, it's not. It's the boredom. Now, The Last Dance is a documentary about Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, the basketball team that plays in the NBA, if you don't know.
Yeah.
Now, basketball is a game played inside on floorboards, and if it wasn't for the crowd, the squeaking of gym boots would be unbearable.
Mm.
And every basketball game should go for 8 seconds. Because it's a terrible game and it's always decided in the last 8 seconds.
It is, isn't it?
It is a game played by the poor and the tall indoors. The Last Dance covers the period of time when the Chicago Bulls dominated the NBA with 2 three-peat championships in 91, 92, 93, and then again in 96, 97, 98. Now, I hate made-up words like three-peat.
Yep.
And I hate documentaries about rich, retired sports people whining. I mean, seriously, whining sports stars get as much sympathy from the general public as protesting uni students, politicians sprung with sex workers, and lawyers arrested on drug charges. Nobody cares about you. You're on your own. But Michael Jordan is up there as a unique individual with Muhammad Ali, Elvis Presley, and the boy that stuck his finger in the dike in Holland. Now, the first thing that people say about this series, now you both have been watching it, the first thing that people say, why are Michael Jordan's eyes so yellow?
Yeah, there's something else.
Everybody said that.
His eyes have got hepatitis, he's been smoking the vacky tobacky, yellow fever, or jaundice. Well, that's just what happens to ageing basketballers.
Yeah.
Because Scottie Pippen's eyes are pretty messed up too, aren't they?
They are.
I thought it was all that scotch he had in his glass next to his
absolutely.
Seat.
He's drinking the scotch or the bourbon there and smoking the cigars. Scottie Pippen's eyes are pretty messed up, like the contract he signed.
Yeah.
He sold himself short, but then again, he did have to support his 14 brothers and sisters, and there were two people in that household in wheelchairs.
That's right.
Tough upbringing.
Yep.
Every sports story needs a bad guy getting in the way of the champions, and in The Last Dance, it's the CEO of the franchise, Jerry Krause.
Poor old Jerry.
Oh, he cops it, doesn't he?
Doesn't he? He's a little pudgy, ugly Jewish man, and everybody thinks he's trying to break up the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Correct. He is trying to break up the team. They're all has-beens. They've won 6 championships. Get rid of them. Trade bait. Legacy. Put a bullet in them. You've won 6. Go. Time to rebuild.
What happened to his eye, Rudy?
I think his pudgy little face squashed his eyes in.
Yeah, might have.
Too many cheeseburgers is what happened to his eyes. The hero of this story is not Michael Jordan.
Right.
It's Jerry Krause, the man that was brave enough to sack Michael Jordan, the greatest in the world. Maybe Jerry could see Michael's eyes turning yellow and thought, it's not getting any better from here. It'll turn him loose. So far, there's been 8 episodes put up on Netflix. I've watched all of them. If I watch the next two, I'm going to harm myself with a large frying pan to the head. I hate basketball. I hate The Last Dance, and I hate myself for watching it. How many stars?
Yep.
None. No, goodbye.
Oh,
I hated it.
Rudy, you can't be serious. This is a great show.
Yeah, you could do it in one episode.
Oh,
they're good at basketball. The end. Shish. How many times do you need to see Michael Jordan dunk a hoop or whatever they call it?
You didn't mention Dennis Rodman. Didn't you like
Dennis
him?
Rodman. He is. No one knows what his eyes are like. He's got massive sunglasses on. In one episode, I think he was wearing a welding mask. I mean, that.
Why do they wear oversized suits?
What? Well, because they've got massive penises, is the question. Now, what about Dennis Rodman? Just consider this in the AFL. Dennis Rodman goes on a 5-day bender in Las Vegas, more booger sugar than Scarface, comes back. Plays a game.
And gets best on.
Gets best on ground. Where were Wada and Asada? Essendon must be thinking, Jesus Christ.
Swab the man.
Swab him. I tell you what, you wouldn't have to swab him. You just had to go near him and your face would go numb.
Here comes Dennis.
Here comes Dennis. He was drinking a can of beer on the back of a Harley Davidson, threw it into a dumpster, went inside and trained. Bring back the 90s.
It was a great era. As long as you're
right.
Wasn't
it a great era? I'll tell you what. Makes an Australian rules footy trip look like a children's picnic.
You didn't like basketball. I'm starting to love it now.
No, I don't like the game. I like all the attendant. You know, when Dennis Rodman goes down to Las Vegas with 13 penthouse pets and a bag of Colombian, well, that's going to make me switch on.
He could play his role, Rudy, if he got asked.
Yeah.
I mean, he's also best friends with Kim Jong-un. He goes to North Korea.
Yeah.
What a life. Just get rid of the basketball and the NBA championships. Give me 10 episodes of Rodman on the road.
Rudy, go and do some plumbing.
See you. 7:14, Ruined It's here on this Friday morning, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. You can do all your shopping online at Chemist Warehouse now, and they'll deliver it, which is good.
What are you confused about, Dits?
Yeah, well, so with our teams being based in Queensland, is that just being talked about, or is it a definite?
They'll be going, Dits.
So you think they are okay?
Well, they will be going, yes. I'm pretty much certain of that.
How will it work?
Well, they have to go there because of the rule that the SA government, SA Health, come up, where if our side's stayed here, went to Melbourne to play a game, if we come back, we have to quarantine for 14 days, so it doesn't work.
Well, why don't our teams go to Melbourne, for example?
Well, they could have if they wanted to. I think they just think Gold Coast will be better, to be honest.
Right.
You know, a bit warmer, better place, better facilities to get out and about, you know, like on a resort, if you want to call it that, which they're talking about the Royal Pines, which you'd be aware of up there. You've probably seen
Golf
that.
Resort?
Yep, where you can... So. Yeah, they'll be based up there. So there'll be the two Adelaide sides, there'll be two Western Australian sides and the two Queensland sides. No one knows yet what the fixture is. I think it's probably come out in the next couple of days. They'll probably play each other once.
That's my next question. So
even though Port have already played the Gold Coast.
So you only play the teams that are in your little hub.
In the first 5 weeks, you know, they might have the showdown as well. So they might get 5 games out there.
Right.
That'd take it through to mid-July. Maybe the border restrictions might be loosened by then.
Okay.
Maybe not. The other reason why they have to go up there, Dits, is because in South Australia, the other rule that they made the other day is no contact training before June the 8th. The season starts on June the 11th, we're led to believe. You can't just do 2 days of competitive work before your first game and be ready to go. So,
whereas in Queensland, they would be allowed to, they'll be able to train that way.
Yeah, they've got that rule. And in Melbourne, as of May 25th, you can do that. So the guys are going to have to head up to Queensland, by about the 25th, roughly. Don't quote me on that date, but they'll have to go up there a couple of weeks, you know, well, 2 weeks before June the 8th to get up there and get ready. I was speaking to a Western Australian sportsman in the know over there. He thinks with their borders, they're going to be so strict over there, they're not going to allow the Eagles to fly in and fly out at any stage this year. There's every chance West Coast Eagles and Freo will not play a home game in 2020.
But you think we could hear?
Well,
in months to come, yeah.
I just assume we would.
Yeah.
I don't know that we're not going to yet. Maybe that is a question for SA Health down the track. I'm talking here in September, October.
So once the Eagles and the Dockers fly to the Gold Coast, they're staying there for the rest of the year.
They're there for the year. So this bloke also said there's a couple of players thinking, well, you know what, I might not even worry about it.
Hell.
Now, that's a big decision.
That is
so,
huge, yeah.
So you've got that sort of stuff going on. And you know what, they might go to Gold Coast, and then they might end up moving to Melbourne after the 6 weeks, and then they're based there for a while. Good news for the players is that they're going to allow families to go into the hubs. So let's just say, Robbie Gray's got young kids.
Yep.
Or Rory Sloane.
Rory's
and
new baby.
But, you know, that throws in a big question mark. How do you manage what your wife and kids can do during the day? Mm. You know, they're allowed to go to, Wet and Wild and then bring a few germs back into the hub. How do you manage that? How do you tell them what to do? How do you tell a 3-year-old kid what to do or not to do? So that's going to be quite a complex issue.
It is.
The whole thing's moving very fast, and it just feels a bit dangerous. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's going to be hard to manage the footy season.
Am I right in saying that the border between New South Wales and Queensland is open? So I guess the two Sydney teams might become a part of those games up there as well.
They may, yeah. So Queensland have allowed it. They've done that for NRL, so that's why the Queensland hub's available. And people say, why don't they come to SA or WA where we've got no infections? It's because the borders are closed here and they're not opening them up. They're not changing it to get footy underway. They've got health as more of a priority than footy, which is fair enough, in these times. So.
All right, so just quickly then, that means our two teams are going to play Fremantle, West Coast, maybe Sydney, Gold Coast, Brisbane.
Yeah, I'm not sure about
GWS.
The New South Wales sides, but definitely the two Queensland, two
Brisbane,
WA,
Gold Coast,
and play each other in the first 5 weeks. I would expect that. No, yeah. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but that's what would make sense.
Gabba and Metricon.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so hopefully that's cleared up a little bit of the information.
No, it has. Right now, our audio man extraordinaire, Sam Morrison's come walking. This is the fellow that puts together the week that was, which is just unbelievable. Mm. Well done again this week, Sam.
Oh, thank you.
But you've got something else for us today.
Often I go out to Alice and Matt, our boss, and ask for suggestions for what I should include in the top five. You know, it's the weekly wrap.
So they help.
Yeah. So
Alice Wag.
You know, Alice, what do you think? What was funny? You know, we have a bit of a back and forth. What was good this week?
Mm-hmm.
And I just noticed she kept mentioning the other day when I was on the Angels, I said this really funny joke.
So she puts forward a lot of her own sort of goal.
She, you know, likes to put forward her own quality gear.
Just so listen in the background. Would this be called blowing her own trumpet? Would that be?
Which is fair enough. So anyway, I thought I'm going to go up and I'm going to ask her what I should put in the segment, record her and just see if she...
Oh no, you've recorded her!
Which is illegal, but you know...
Yeah. Quite fine here on Triple M.
Yeah, we're all about content here. She understands. Mm, yeah. This is the sacrifices we need to make for the show.
So what should be in the highlights of the week?
Yeah, so I go ask her, press record, and just to start... This was just after
did
we'd had
a... Did you put
a
bit of bait on the hook or not?
A tiny little bit, not much. Just at this starts, we just had an interview with Nicola Sperry yesterday, and apparently it was blowing up on Twitter, so that's how this starts anyway.
Put it on Twitter, Tom Brown said that it was the most best interview or something because I'm f***ing top 10. Tom Brown said a massive interview by Adelaide or something. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm f***ing good producer. Okay.
But you're funny as well.
Yeah, I know that. I should be on air.
Alright, I don't have many other options, so I think I'll use your fossil joke in the top five.
You'd be silly not to, honestly. Oh, it's the biggest laugh they've had.
Didn't sound like he was too keen to. The coughing?
Oh, coughing was funny.
What was the coughing?
No, I... my fossil joke was funnier than the coughing.
Can't
use
both.
Me, me, me.
I tend not to use Alice in these kind of things.
Yeah, which is why they're not very good lately.
Oh, sassy.
That's the sass.
Right. I've handed him gold and he's just choosing not to put it in.
So is this kind of a executive producer directive to
more Alice. When in doubt, more Alice in the show.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Alice is here. How do you defend the indefensible? I mean, how...
I actually don't even know what to say. I'm so embarrassed.
You should be too.
You missed. People would have missed the little bit at the start where she says, I am a top 10 producer. This came about a couple of years ago, didn't it, Ruth? She said, I'm in the top 10 in Australia.
Well, she actually came in to say, would you guys write, you know, some words for me because I'm actually entering myself in the top 10 producer awards at the National Awards night. Can you just write about why I am in the top 10. Not ask, am I worthy?
Our little pet name for Alice, you know, off air is top 10, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, she's a top 10 producer. Yeah. Get the good guess, yeah.
Well, I am. I did make it.
You didn't make the top 10, did you?
I did. I was number 9.
Number 9?
I thought you were 10.
There was no other South Australian producers in it, just letting you know.
That's because they're all modest, probably.
They don't nominate themselves.
You got the top 10 self-nominated top 10 producers.
I did enjoy that. Well done, Sam.
Well done, Alice.
No, thank you. Let's go to an ad break. Get out of here.
Good work.
Triple M's business support. Ruanditza are teaming up with Sun Energy to help local business. Sun Energy. Go solar and start empowering your future today.
So you remember over the last couple of weeks been getting different people to ring in and tell us about a business that's been doing it a bit tough.
Yeah, because there's been plenty.
Yeah, and we've been giving these businesses a plug and it's gone really well, but the prize was outstanding.
Yeah, we gave a prize for a couple. We're going to give a prize to a business, but we're going to give a prize to the callers for ringing in and nominating the business, going out of their way and sort of saying, look, I reckon this little shop down the road needs a little bit of help.
All right, we're about to get Stephen on the line. So the one caller, Roo, that, didn't stand out. They were all very, very good, but this one kind of touched us a fair bit. This is Stephen from Davern Park.
A little cafe is like, it's in a side street in Gawler. They're actually doing work with the homeless and the people in need. They actually made little packs up to, you know, help people out that actually need a lot, little bits of toilet paper, toothbrushes, everything for the homeless.
Fantastic.
And they're still doing their thing for the community, yet they're losing money as well.
How are they paying for that, Steve? How are they being
most
able
of
to do that?
Donations. Gail, the lady that runs it, with her son Ben and Jackson, she does a lot for the community. She's sort of opened a women's shelter as well in Elizabeth, so women have a place to go. But, she does a lot for the community. I just want to say, you know, thanks to her as well.
Isn't that a great story?
Yep, it sure is, and we just love people like that out in the community doing the right thing.
All right, let's get Stephen from Davern Park on the line because he is about to win a very, very good prize from Sun Energy.
Steve speaking.
G'day, Steve. It's Ruan Ditz from Triple M. How are you?
Not bad, thanks.
You remember talking to us a couple of weeks ago? You nominated Poetic Justice Cafe?
Yeah, I did, mate.
Well, you've won a Solar Edge Smart Home Solar System, mate, for your house. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks very much, mate. That's fantastic.
Yeah, well done.
Steve, we thought your call was just outstanding. We really did, and the cafe's outstanding as well. But thanks for bringing it to our attention, mate. Well done.
Oh, thank you very much, mate. Yeah, they're absolutely fantastic down there. Words don't describe what they do for everyone. So, yeah, I thought I'd do the community thing and help them out. But just anyway, I could. So,
good on you. Well done, Stephen. Well, as Roo said, you got the Solar Edge solar system now for your home. Now, stay on the line. We're going to get Gail on as well. She doesn't know we're ringing her. So let's get Gail from the cafe on. All right, Poetic Justice.
Could get emotional here, Ditz.
Now, what's she about to win, Roo?
She is about to win $4,000 in cash and $5,000 advertising on Triple M.
Poetic Justice, Gail speaking.
Oh, good morning, Gail.
Gail, it's Roo from Triple M. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks, Roo. How are you?
Good. We got Ditz here as well,
now,
Gail.
Gail, we got some good news for you.
What's that?
You've won $4,000 cash and a $5,000 advertising package from Triple M.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much.
Do you know what this is about?
I did get a phone call a little earlier, and
yep.
they did say that I was nominated, and
right,
we've
well,
made the top three. So
yeah, you're
I'm
the winner.
Excited! Oh my God, that's
you
awesome.
Have
Thank
got
you
the
so
gold
much,
medal.
Adelaide.
I don't know if you remember, but Stephen from Davern Park actually rang and nominated you. We've got Stephen on the other line. Do you want to say good morning?
Oh, morning, Steve. I love your guts.
Love you guys too.
Gail, Steve just said you do a great job. The business is doing it tough, but you've also been providing packs for the homeless and packs for the needy. And listen, when you're losing money and you're still going out of your way to do that, yeah. Takes a special person. And
right.
that's the type of person that we were looking for. And that's why you're the winner of Triple M Small Business Support Promotion.
Sorry, you've got me in tears now. Tears of joy, of course. Yeah. A bit overwhelmed.
Oh, good on you.
Thank
good
you so
stuff,
much.
Gail. Are you crying, Gail?
I am.
So
I
you're,
am.
So you're a howl, you're a howling Gail.
Yeah.
That was pathetic. On that. Hey, now, tell me, Ben and Jackson, they're your sons, is that right?
They're my sons.
And
yes,
they work
and they
with
help
you?
Run. That's correct, yes.
Well, Gail, well done. You sound like a ripper. You're obviously a good mum as well, but well done for helping everybody and in these tough times thinking of others. You're a good scout.
Oh, pleasure. And make sure you get out to Gawler and come and visit and say hi.
All right, we will.
Beautiful.
Hey, Steve, well done to you, and thanks for nominating Poetic Justice and Gail as well.
Thanks a lot, guys. Cheers.
Good on you.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, Gail.
Good
see
on you.
Soon.
Hey, Roo, thanks to Lee, the Managing Director at Sun Energy, for helping us out over the last few weeks. They've been outstanding.
They have been outstanding, and I've spoken to them. I've said that before, Ditch. If you're looking for a solar system for your house, give Sun Energy a call. They've got a great deal where you can pay as you save at the moment. It's a no-brainer. It really is, and we should do the light. We should do that. Those ads for this cafe, Ditch, I think.
Yeah, let's do
Why
that.
Why wouldn't we do that?
Good on you, Roo. Roo and Ditch here on Triple M. 7:47 Ruined Dits here on Triple M.
On Triple M's Ruined Dits.
What do you have to live with?
Have you put the bins out?
Did you fix the gate?
Put the toilet seat down?
Who ate all the Tim Tams?
Don't cut your toenails at the table.
Why is there a goat in the bed?
What I have to live with.
All right, we've had some good calls over the journey as well. Do you want to play the montage of the calls? Yeah, let's do that.
Every time I go shopping, like I'm in the car, I'm coming home, or I'm pulling into the driveway, and then she rings me and tells me she wants something else. It's like she does it deliberately.
Big Al, I feel your pain, buddy.
Repeatedly uses toothpicks, but he leaves them wherever he is, putting them in cup holders and then reuses them. Well, my darling husband drinks beer in a can. And you know the little ring pulls that are on them?
Yep.
Well, he has to take them off because they grab hold of his mo every time he drinks it.
That'll stop him from drinking.
So he pulls them off and puts them down. They are everywhere. Wherever he is, there's the ring pull.
My wife always leaves doors and drawers slightly open.
Now, Guy, my wife does this.
So he comes home, he has a couple of stubbies, sits outside, but he leaves the beer bottles on top of the glass table.
Right.
But he walks inside past the recycle bin, which is right next to the door. Drives me insane.
There's a bit of frustration
Drives
there.
Drives me insane.
Righto, Roo. So what happened to me this week, this was 2 days ago. I got papers out before I went to bed and put them on the kitchen bench because I had to ring
my
accountant.
What sort of papers? The form guide?
No. Some figures, facts and figures. I had to ring my accountant. The next morning. And I thought, when I get home from radio, this will remind me. I'm sitting there. This will remind me.
All ready to go.
All ready to go. I get home, ready to ring the accountant. Kate has written a soup recipe on my figures. Yes.
What?
I've just looked at it. God, are you serious?
4 + 4 equals 8 and then put the minestrone on.
Yeah. Add salt. It was lamb shank soup. Now, I just shook my head. I thought, are you fair dinkum?
Well, so did I have like?
So I've rung my accountant. I said, do you put salt in yours or not?
Do you use
Mackenzie soup mix?
Couldn't she tell they're important papers?
I don't know. Clearly not. And there's a drawer full of bloody pads and pens. Like.
Yeah, but surely she was in a rush. Did someone have her on the phone? When you've got to quickly find a bit of pen and paper?
I don't know. But imagine me now giving that to the ATO. Sorry, excuse the excuse the recipe for the lamb shank soup that she's written on the...
Do I have to pay tax?
even when I make this
sense. I mean, I did laugh, but I thought, are you serious?
Yeah,
open the drawer and pull out a pack.
Come on, Kate. You don't need to go down.
Now, I've got another one. What we have to work with, not what we have to live with.
Oh, what we have to work with. Is that...
Now,
not me.
Well, you witnessed this as well this morning. At 5 o'clock this morning, we got here. Now, Alice has got, apparently, she's got an inspection coming up for her rental.
Oh,
so she's cleaning.
She's not happy.
So she's borrowed one of those carpet sweepers. So not a vacuum cleaner, but you know, a carpet sweeper. Yeah, underneath. It's got the rollers on it and whatever.
Yeah, that work well.
So Alice, if you've never ever seen Alice, she's a younger Christy Brinkley sort of. She's got,
she's got
long blonde hair all the way down to her backside, hasn't she? So what's happened is she's borrowed this carpet sweeper from Mel the Button Pusher, and she's going to bring it back. Well, it's clogged with blonde hair
now, and
very, very long blonde hair. She's got it turned upside down.
Yeah.
This is at 5 o'clock this morning, and I said to you, Rue, what's our lead story for 7 o'clock?
Yeah,
no, we haven't got one yet. This is the top 10 producer.
What do we need at 8:10?
What do we need at 8:10? No, we haven't got a story for that yet. So we look at our producer, the award-winning producer, and she's pulling blonde hair out of the carpet sweeper. Yeah. How long do you reckon she spent doing that?
No, 15 minutes.
At least?
Mm-hmm.
And we kept asking her questions. Alice, have we got the premiere on this morning, or what have we got?
Hang on.
I've just got to get this hair out of this.
No, very, very, very good use of time.
What we have to work with.
Exactly right. We do cover a fair bit.
But I did get her mind going. I said, tell you what, why don't you start pulling the carpet sweeper backwards and that hair will all unravel.
Will it?
And she went, yeah, will it?
And then if you keep going backwards, it'll put it back in your head. Righto, 1-3-3-5-3. This is what I have to live with. We've got a prize to give away, which I don't know what it is. Triple M show bag. That's what it is.
Carpet sweeper.
Yeah, 1-3-3-5-3. This is what I have to live with.
7:55, Ruined. It's here on Triple M. What do you have to live with? Yeah, what have you got, Ruined?
Well, I forgot to give my wife a whack. How dare I? look, what I do hate, we struggle for fridge space with a big family.
I bet you do.
But what I do hate is when I say, how old's this mashed potato, Sarah? Oh, yeah, no, that's out of date. That's 5 days old. Mm. Well, why haven't you bloody thrown it out when you realised it was out of date? Mm. Oh, I was going to do it, later. You know, she knows stuff is out of date or, chops lasted a week somehow.
Yeah.
It just does my head in.
But it just stays there in the fridge, doesn't it?
She would just look at it.
Yeah.
Just throw it out. Stop being lazy.
Okay.
Does that happen at your joint or not?
Yes.
Do you throw it?
No, it does happen. Yep.
It's you that's doing it.
Probably, I'm going to share that, yeah.
Righto, 1-3-3-5-3. Let's head down to Rosewater. G'day, Michelle.
How are you all?
Good, Michelle.
What do you have to live with, Michelle?
I have to live with a husband who said he'd rather have a second wave of coronavirus than have the football back.
What?
Oh, he hates footy.
I'm deadly serious. He hates footy.
You're joking.
Deadly serious, and I am a tragic.
Wow.
Hell. So Friday night, when things are normal then, Friday night footy, you're on the couch watching.
She's having a dart and a beer watching the footy.
And what's he doing?
He's cooking.
He's on the computer and I go to a friend's house to watch
footy.
Wow.
Deadly serious.
No, I need to name and shame this bloke. What's his name?
His name's Matthew.
Is he sort
Matthew
of...
Matthew from Rosewater.
Is he 13 or what?
He's deadly serious. He hates it.
You're kidding.
Really?
I do not watch footy at home.
Have you taken him to the doctor or anything?
No, I've started digging the grave out the back.
Yeah, get rid
Michelle,
of him, Michelle.
This is almost a deal breaker.
It is, isn't it? It is.
What's he doing on the computer, by the way?
Oh, watching movies normally.
Righto. Don't ask any more questions.
No, don't look.
All right. Good on you, Michelle. That's the sort of gold we're after. Let's head to Craigmore. G'day, Sam.
Hey, how you going, guys?
What do you have to live with?
Well, every time me and my wife are driving together in the car with the kids or even just us, she doesn't like what's on the radio. She'll flick through all six of the radio station presets and then ends up on the same radio station.
Back to where you started.
Mate, just tell her to put it on Triple M.
All six buttons, program them to Triple M. That'll annoy her.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Good on you, Sam.
Let's head to Noarlunga Downs. G'day, Paul.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
What do you have to live with, Paul?
Mate, we've got one of those foam covers that go over the top of the mattress.
Mattress topper.
Yep. Not nice and comfy. Well, I get up at 3:30 in the morning and head off to work, and every night I get into strife because when she drags her ass out of bed, she pulls it over her side.
Right.
But I get into trouble because it's my fault that it gets dragged over.
How?
Well, when she drags her ass out of bed, she pulls it over her side.
Well, how did you do that then?
Well, that's what I reckon. Oh. I'm for it.
You better tell her to drag her ass back the other way.
Yeah, then. Exactly. Even it up. Now, where do you go at 3:30 in the morning?
I'm a truckie, mate. I get up and deliver concrete aggregates.
Oh, good on you.
Hey, Paul, have you listened to, on the internet, the truckie prank call?
I have, mate. That's fantastic.
You sound just like him.
Do I really? There you go.
That's the funniest bit of audio out there, if anyone hadn't listened. Truckie prank call.
Good on you, Paul. We might do that again next week, Roo. You have to live with, because a lot of people are wanting to have their say. Gee, I feel sorry for Michelle from Rosewater.
Yeah, that's a weird one. He needs help. We've got the premier Steve Marshall on. We've got Rudy Vanderstone. He's reviewing The Last Dance and the top five coming up. Big hour.
Roo, just quickly, you know, yesterday we had Professor Nicola Spurrier on, and I sort of put the question to her. We asked her about the fact of what happened in the Barossa with the Crows, and did it have any bearing on her making decisions about our teams, you know, not being able to fly in and fly out of here and whatever. And then, and she answered the question pretty well. And
she said it didn't have an impact. Nothing to do with it or something.
And then interestingly, last night I was watching the 7 News, and I see where Port Adelaide football manager Chris Davies was interviewed about various topics about having to go to Queensland and those sorts of things. He was asked about the Barossa situation.
I don't think that even the staunchest Crow supporter would believe that it's had a positive impact.
What?
You know what you're saying when you say that, aren't you? Don't you think?
Oh,
you
know, it was a throwaway comment.
It was a throwing under the bus comment was what it was.
Throwing under the bus.
Well, he did.
Was it
didn't
his
he?
Fault that the Barossa thing happened, is it?
Did he need to say it?
Well, he was asked the question.
Yeah, but
what do you say? No comment. If he says no comment, then it's even bigger.
Whatever happens at the Crows. We're worried about what we're doing.
Oh, that's how you would have answered.
Well, that's what clubs usually do. It's just funny. He said that, and he said it again later on. I heard something on the rush hour. He backed over it again.
It can't really be a yes or no answer. I think that suggesting I was critical is probably a step too far. What I have said is that I don't believe it helped.
This has clearly touched a nerve.
Been funny. Well, I mean, usually you don't worry about commenting about other clubs, and he's done it.
Mm.
And Koshy did it earlier in the week about the go and start a luxury hotel. And I just can't understand why you do it when you're cutting staff, and the cost of it's just. You know, and the reason you probably don't usually do it is because you don't know all the facts. And then Koshy didn't. As we said on this show the other day, it didn't cost the footy club anything. It was going to cost under $10,000 because the players paid for half. The Novotel gave up the place for next to nothing because it was shut anyway.
Yeah.
And then Matty Nix and Adam Kelly were going to pay the difference. So it had no bearing on staff cuts.
Right.
So,
but you shouldn't comment on other clubs, is that?
Usually they don't. Usually they don't. I mean, you know how many times we've spoken about what's happening in China over the last couple of years. You haven't heard me say, well, gee, that's a waste of time going to China. They're not making any money out of China, but you don't hear that anywhere.
Right. Not until now.
Not until now. Didn't hear me say, or you didn't hear board members, you know, 10 years ago when Port were bleeding money and costing the SNFL 10 or 15 million. You didn't hear people say about that.
No, your CEO did it for them.
Who did what? Who said that?
Stephen Trigg at the time.
Oh, I can't remember that.
Oh, can't you?
No.
You got selective hearing or something.
What, Stephen Trigg's? What did he say?
I've already told you this. When he said that Port Adelaide is damaging the AFL brand in South Australia. That's a nice thing to say.
Where did he say that?
Said it publicly at a lunch, and it was reported widely.
At a lunch? Yeah, not in the media.
At a large... Yeah, but the media reported. He said it in a public forum.
Well, he shouldn't have said that.
Oh, really? So Chris Davies makes a little comment.
He backed over it a couple of times. I reckon they're just trying to capitalise on a couple of little errors maybe are they? Geez. Are they?
A bit touchy.
Do you think they should be doing it?
Commenting on other clubs?
Yes.
Who cares? Honestly.
It's
great fodder for the media. Footy's too boring.
Yeah, it is.
I'd love to hear the odd blue.
You know what I reckon everyone should be doing? Everyone should be trying to help each other. These are tough times to get right, and I reckon there's more accidents coming because the AFL's moving at 100 mile an hour, and it's going to be impossible not to make mistakes over the next month.
All right?
So tell him to shut up. You got any pull down there or what? Anyway, let's get the premier on Steve Marshall. We'll see if he is the top man in the job.
Alice the Wag is dominating this morning.
Well, she is. She's doing some ordinary things and doing some very good things as well. We're not sure what this is going to be like, but it does say funny grab from the rush hour.
Yeah,
which means one of us is in trouble, Dits, or both of us.
I just wanted to bring it to your attention. I just want to put it out there. I had nothing to do with this. I was just driving in my car last night. I heard it and I thought, oh, I better play it to my boys.
Righto.
They can't talk about us like that.
So what have the afternoon boys been stitching us up?
Yeah, we'll have a listen.
Well, Jazz, this morning I was listening to the Brekkie Show because I was listening into the interview with Chief Health Officer Nicola Spurrier.
Because
I was listening and I just wanted to know the information that they were asking.
Nice.
Some good questions.
Yeah,
but I listened to the full interview, Jazz, and, well, I've got my opinions on what I felt happened, but just listen to this and I'm going to ask you about
Between
it.
Between who?
Between Chris Dittmar and Nicola Spurrier.
Oh,
no.
What? Professor Spurrier, can I say, I think you've been absolutely outstanding, and I mean that. And, you know, I reckon we're proud as South Australians. When we talk to, I've been talking to people overseas and interstate, that our record here is just exactly what it really is. It's incredible. So, Professor Spurrier, well
done. Well, I honestly can't believe it myself. So it's an absolute credit to South Australians.
Well, you've been in charge, and as I said, I really, really mean this sincerely. You've done an incredible job, and gee, I hope you get a good long holiday at some stage. You'll need a break, I think, but well
done.
Yeah,
it will be nice.
Good on you. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, wow. What's wrong with that? Around it? And I hope you have a holiday. Does Ditch want to go on that holiday with her?
He's just being nice to her.
What do you think he's doing? Slight bit of, you know, a bit of maybe flirtation. And then he was talking about holidaying and possibly maybe with her. Oh.
That's
there you cross the line. Do you tweet?
See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Actually, Nicola and I are catching up.
What about Bernie throwing
that's
a,
terrible.
Throwing a hand grenade over
I was
to you?
Being respectful to the lady that's done such a great job.
Yeah, and then you did it again today.
Well, I don't want to sound like a pathetic little lapdog, but I think that is great leadership. No, it is. But you've actually appointed the or
so now I'm in love with
the
Stephen
people
Marshall
that are experts. And to me, that means leadership.
It's called
it's
respect.
Good on you. Thanks so much. The man who is running the state, the Premier, Stephen Marshall. Look, can you all get Nick?
That's 1 year old Bernie. He's now officially.
Mate, he has started again.
Because we got a fair bit on Bern.
Bern, that's a dangerous game to play.
Game on.
On Roo and Dits for breakfast.
Hello.
Get it straight from the horse's mouth.
I'm Mr. Rare.
It's time for Roo's Tip of the Week.
Okay, didn't quite get the chocolates last week, but I'll put the saddle on again, Dits, and have another
I was wondering why we weren't playing the normally we play the audio from the previous week, but I see
that when I go, bit like Alice.
So we're just going to skip over that, are we?
Yeah, we are today. We're going to skip that bit because it just didn't come anywhere, so I lost my money. Hey, I reckon we can get it back, though, tomorrow. It's a big day of racing in Adelaide. I'm going to give you a couple of bets.
A couple. In
race 3, number 7, there's a horse called Symphonette. I think that's how I pronounce it. It's about $5, Dits.
Ooh.
I reckon there's only two chances in this race.
Nice.
The favourite and it at $5. So I reckon Symphonette. You can back it each way until your nose bleeds. And then you should be around the mark with that. At worst, I reckon you'll get your money back.
Okay.
If it happens to win, in race 8, the Goodwood, I've tipped this before. I love this horse. I love horses that just try their guts out every time, like a sportsman. You want them every time they get out there, they try. And a horse is called G-Tra, owned by Gary McIntosh, the hard man from Nord, who's got a few good horses at the moment, Macca. And G-Tra is the best of them. I think this is just too good for this field.
Gordon Richards?
I think, yep, locally trained, locally owned, only paid $40,000 for it. I think it'll win again. It's the best horse going around, best 1,200. One called Behemoth number 9, Dits, might push it. I reckon it's set for this race. It's a good horse as well, but I'm going on the beak for G-Tra.
Righto.
It'll sit in,
so
it'll
two
just
winners.
Tuck in, and it'll run past him in the straight and go give him windburn, probably.
All right, let's hope so.
All right.
Good on your route.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
See you on Monday.
Unless, of course, I have a
Ruined dits might be done for another day, but the savings at Chemist Warehouse have only just started. Chemist Warehouse always has the biggest brands at the lowest price. 104.7 Triple M.